start off with a question. Was Jesus really tempted? Was he really tempted? I mean, was there a chance that he could have done something terrible? I mean, if he's really who he says that he is, the only Son of God, 100% fully divine, can he really be tempted away from himself? Have you ever wondered this? Thought about this? How did Jesus reject himself? Oh, we do it all the time. We do it all the time. We know the person that God has called us to be. We know the person we want to be. We agree with God. Yet on the regular, we go against God's ways. Knowing that our actions are harmful to us and harmful to other people, we do it anyway. Yes, we are only human. But if Jesus is truly 100% human, he has to experience temptation just like we experience temptation. He has to be tempted away from his calling, just like we experience every day. So what are these temptations? And why are there only three? Why aren't there more than three? I mean, he was in the desert for 40 days. You think of more than three temptations, can you? Why only three? Well, the quick answer is, the three temptations really represent sort of all temptations. They're kind of the three categories of every temptation that there is. We talked about this before, I know. So let us take a moment and kind of review the three temptations just really quickly. First, turning the stones into bread to satisfy the desires of the flesh. Probably the most common temptation. We want to manipulate the material world around us to suit our purposes. This is high on everyone's list. I remember when I was a young kid, there were a couple of TV shows that were in reruns at the time I was a child. Bewitched, remember? And I Dream of Jeannie, you're smiling. You know, some of the younger people, you're like, what is he talking about? TV Land shows? I don't know. Where they would, you know, snap their finger or twinkle their nose and they could turn things into stuff. And as a kid, I watched that. I was like, oh, I wish I could do that. You know, that would be so awesome. So I grew up kind of with that, I don't know, desire. Fantasy to be able to change the world into what I wanted it to be. So there's an element of disappointment that I don't have that control. Then there's number two, when we put God to the test. That happens often as well. It's pretty common. I involve myself in harmful pursuits, thinking it's not so bad. I'll survive. Many people do this as well. That's a common prayer. We even do it together as a church. God save me from the consequences of my bad choices. It's amazing that God still shows up. Shows us grace despite our bad choices. Jump off a cliff all the time. We land on our keister. And it's horribly painful. And we want God to heal our broken bone. And then there's number three. This is the one that may be less common, but it's the one that nobody likes to admit. Very hard to admit. The one where we manipulate other people. That's a terrible temptation. No one wants to admit their participation in manipulating others to serve their own purposes. What did the devil say? If you bow down to me and worship me, I will give you all the people under your control. Terrible. Terrible. What a temptation this is. We stop putting God number one, and we take on the role of God ourselves, and we use our power and our influence over others to serve our own purposes. It happens all the time. Do you see this in others? Do you see this in yourself? It's so hard to admit. Sometimes we have to have third-party observers, counselors, help us to see our destructive behavior in our relationships. So let's summarize. One, an attempt to control the material world against what God intended. Two, control and manipulate God himself by putting God to the test. And three, controlling and manipulating other people to serve ourselves instead of serving God. History is filled with humans going against God in these three ways. Our own personal history is filled with examples of participating and succumbing to one or more of these three temptation categories. What about the Israelites in the desert? They're a good example. Sorry for my nose. Do you remember? They collectively get tempted away from God as soon as they're brought out of the land of slavery. The first issue was they were sick of eating manna, right? They were hungry, tired from all the travel. They longed for steak dinners, right? They're like, oh man, back in Egypt, the fast food was so much better than what we're eating now. Why don't we go back? It was so much better. Right? And then they worshiped the golden calf. They tested God. Actually, the whole passage that Jesus quotes in Deuteronomy 6, I encourage you to go read that in your devotional time, it's all about false gods. Don't follow the gods of the people around you. Don't follow false gods. For the God who is among you is a jealous God. The very, very next line is, do not put the Lord your God to the test. He's quoting it in the context of that whole statement. And then finally, at the end of the years wandering in the desert, when they are about to enter the land of promise, they chicken out. They don't enter because they're afraid to follow through with God's plan. They don't trust God. And I think that's us too. I can see myself in that. We have trouble following through with God's will. We're afraid to engage with our communities and connect with God's kingdom. Oh, we want to. We talk a good game. But when it comes to really engaging with the land, with the mission field that God has given us, we're afraid of rejection. I am too. I'm as guilty as you. I'm just as afraid as you. I talk a good game, but when it comes down to it, so many times I'm chicken. More times than I want to admit it. But Jesus wasn't afraid. Not only did Jesus reject the devil all three times, causing him to flee from him, Jesus did enter the land of promise on a donkey, a beast of burden. Jesus experienced our long list of temptations. After Jesus spent months and months and months and months ministering to the lost under hostile rejection, he entered the promised land, as God had promised, and went to the cross. Jesus Christ raised his disciples to be brave, to reach out to the world who didn't know him. And at first they were novices. They were tempted to be angry and dismissive. There's examples of that. They were tempted to quit because of the pressure. One almost quit because he was called out by a young child. You remember Peter in the denials? After Jesus' arrest, the original church was tempted to veer off God's path many times. But God remained faithful. God taught them to live not by their own circumstances, but every word that comes from the mouth of God. God leads us to new places. And when we trust Him, when we are brave, we arrive at those new places. Church, stop testing God's boundaries and continue to worship and serve God alone. And the church grew. And we're constantly reminded of their mission to continue to encourage one another. I'm sure that even though it's not necessarily written in so many passages, I'm sure that there are many people in the original church that quit. I'm sure there are. There are many people who, you know, they follow through, but they're like, it's too much. And they quit. I'm sure it wasn't easy. It's much easier for us to see a successful history when we look at the last 2,000 years. We look at Christianity and we think, man, that's pretty great. But at the time, they couldn't see that. Many of them carried on anyway, not knowing where it would end up, but just trusting God. And then you probably wondered many times, is this Jesus thing going to work out? Is this church going to grow? Can we really trust God? Putting God first beyond our personal desire and feelings is a struggle most of the time. Everyone is tempted to give up on God. Through the Gospels, we are continually reminded that God didn't give up on us and will never give up on us. For in the midst of all of our temptations, no matter how bad it gets, no matter how unsuccessful we are at times, there is one go-to statement that always rings true. And I say this, I think, wow. Jesus Christ is and always will be triumphant. Jesus Christ is and always will be triumphant. As soon as I make that statement, I always hear Christ's words on the cross, "It is finished." I don't know why, it just pops in my head. That's us. That is a sound and strong faith that cuts through the temptation of struggle. Christ is triumphant.